In the third production, we went to a dance company. We had little girls that were dancers that were 5 years old. They couldn't wait to be angels coming out. So I think that's something too, that it doesn't matter your age. You have value, you have talent. Talking about the arts again, and what is art? You have it. You just have to bring it out there.
Faith at the Fringe, a Sanctuary First podcast series. Uncovering God in the creative arts. At the biggest international arts festival in the world, Sanctuary First stops to ask, where does faith and art meet?
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our Faith at the Fringe podcast for 2024. We are here again in St. Cuthbert's Parish Church with a beautiful stained glass window behind us depicting St. Cuthbert's life. And who is sitting in front of this beautiful stained glass window with me today? Of course, we have the beautiful Heather Thorpe.
Hello, so excited to be here.
Yeah, great to have you with us, Heather. Heather is a friend of Sanctuary First and also the planting and pioneering coordinator with the Presbytery of Glasgow. And Heather and I are going to be having a conversation with our guest who is across the pond today, delving into their show that they've got at the Fringe and thinking about that whole wonder of the space that is created with faith and art, and actually what goes on in that space when art and creativity and culture and faith all mingle and meet, and just what happens in that space for individuals, and what happens in that space particularly for our guest Wendy Patterson. So Wendy, it is lovely to have you with us from Florida today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation. It was a great email to read that you were reaching out to me.
Oh, well, when I heard about your show, I just thought, oh, we really want to hear from you. So, friends, Wendy is the owner, the heartbeat, the everything of Heart and Soul Productions. And they have their show, A Night to Remember, that is going on the entirety, for the entirety of the Fringe this year. But Wendy, I think it's probably best to let you explain your role with Heart and Soul Productions, because I think it is everything. You're a very talented lady. And then also explain a little bit more to us and to our listeners about the show, because some folks might not have heard anything about it yet. So tell us a bit about yourself, please, and also about your show.
Well, thank you once again. It is just a privilege to be here. I really appreciate the invitation and your warm hospitality already. I am with my husband. We have been a partnership since 1995 or 96. I'm co-owner of Heart and Soul Producers. So you can always go to heartandsoulproducers.com for our website that showcases our shows. Jim and I have been together since before we were married, and we have two children that are also musicians. So as a family, we're not the normal family that you hear about. We rehearsed every day. We led worship every weekend. Our sons at a very young age were playing instruments on stage. People didn't realize that was going to be the drummer or that was the bass player or things like that. So definitely raised in a Christian faith and raised the boys that way. And now they're moved out and gone and still playing music up north now. I'm in Florida. We're in Florida. We're on the Space Coast. So we watch the rockets go off from our dining room table. So they're doing a lot of good. I hope they're doing good for the environment, but it's a very interesting place to live. It's always happening. There's always something going on. Jim and I do everything. Between the two of us, we do everything. And that was a neat thing about when we first met, is Jim toured professionally for 10 years in Canada in a rock band, where I was the one that sang at Disney World at Christmas. And you know, was in all the choirs and ensembles and dancing and singing, that type of thing. So when we met, I joined his band as a backup singer. And how the story goes is you fall in love, the band breaks up, you get married, you have kids. And that's how our story really began. But Jim has always written original songs, and he started writing songs that were a story. And it was like, this is pretty cool. But we have a music studio in our own house, and the nice microphones like you're sitting in front of, and all the equipment. And when Jim would write something, then I would go into the sound booth, and I've been blessed with a very good vocal range. So I sing tenor two to soprano one, and then he sings the rest. And sometimes we overlap and you don't know if it's Jim or Wendy singing tenor. And we would just lay down all the vocal tracks and then he would mix them. So that was a long time ago. And he kept writing. And we had the children and we always led worship and things like that. We were always singing on the praise team. And then the boys just started picking up instruments without lessons even, you know. And that was something Jim always firmly believed, was that if you have instruments around the house, you have no idea who knows how to play them when they walk in your door. When Nana walked in one day and picked up a acoustic guitar and played, people were like, we didn't know that Nana played guitar, you know. So the boys started playing, and very soon we all started playing together. And when you lead worship with your children, that's when you realize you've been blessed to overflowing. That simple, you know? And so it was a very amazing experience. And then of course they went, you know, to school and to high school, and they're in everything. And actually both of our sons are in the United States Marine Corps and they're in the band. And not too many people on the planet can say they have two sons in the Marine Corps, let alone two sons in the Marine Corps band. So we're quite proud parents, although we were never in the military or anything like that. So, so when you do that, you end up doing everything. You learn things. I work in the school system, so we have summers off, and summers is when I do big projects. 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now, I learned how to build a website. So heartandsoulproducers.com is me learning how to do a website through a website company. And I'm pretty proud of it because it's the way I wanted it to look. We continued to write songs and shows. So our shows are all original. The only one that you know the story to is the one that's at the Fringe right now, because it's called A Night to Remember, and it's the Christmas Story Broadway style with all of the costuming and all of the pageantry. But everything's original. All 10 songs are original. And that's something we've always done, is everything has been rated G or PG. We don't think that you have to go any further than that when you have a great story and when you have great music.
And A Night to Remember, it really is a great story, isn't it? So it's A Night to Remember is all about the birth of Jesus. And, you know, Heather and I were just having a chat about this and just thinking, well, normally you have you're thinking about the birth of Jesus at Christmas time in winter. And, you know, and here we are in Scotland and Edinburgh today. And, you know, it's warm and you're in Florida and you were seeing it like 7 o'clock in the morning. It's 80 degrees. So
it's very cool.
Yeah, it's great, but it's also such a good reminder, isn't it, Heather? It's such a good reminder that the story about the birth of Jesus isn't just for Christmas time.
Yeah, so I was really struck by how this could perhaps be, you know, seen as making it more universal and taking it away from maybe like what we would call the primary school domain, you know, little children, mm-hmm. and actually making it accessible and maybe actually reawakening some of the seeds of faith that might have been planted back in those early years when people were involved in these kinds of plays. And I think it's probably quite a lot of people in Scotland would have gone through a nativity play, as we would call it, when they mm-hmm. were young. But now this is bringing it into, you know, an all age experience for adults to come back to.
And for us, that's a fun thing to do, is to get adults to sign on and volunteer No one has been paid to do this, except the videographer, because we wanted to have a professional video. The A Night to Remember show that's at the Fringe is the third time it's been put on, and the largest venue on Florida's East Coast. And it, you know, we paid for it out of pocket. There's no sponsors yet or things like that. But we knew that it had to be out there, and we knew that everything was ready, and God's timing is perfect. And in the December of 22 is when it was put on. In February of 2022, someone called and told me they had costumes that a friend was getting rid of, and would I want them? And I said, absolutely. And they're like, but we don't know what shape they're in. And I said, that's okay. Fabric is fabric. Yards of fabric, we'll do something with. And when they showed up at my door, they wouldn't let me pick them up. They showed up at my door with 75 garment bags.
Wow.
Each costume in its own garment bag, with its own headdress, with its own prop, its staff, its whatever, labeled. I knew we were in for a good ride. I knew that the Lord had something in store, you know, that this was more of just it was affirmation of what we were ready to do. And, you know, in the second year of the pandemic and things like that, you just make promises. You're like, this is what's going to happen. No one's going to do it for me. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make this happen. And when we signed the contract with the King Center, which is what it's called, which is really cool that it's called the King Center, but it's after a man's name, not Jesus the King. When we signed that contract, no one was on board yet. That's faith, mm-hmm. you know, and so. But when you talk to people, you know, I it's neat to hear you talking about when we were younger, because the second time we did this show, we did it in a church that was very much an older population. And it was a really neat way to do it because people were excited to be asked. A lot of times you can't put out an all call and say, hi, we're doing this show. Christmas in July, we're going to do signups. It's going to be great. We're going to start in September and it'll be ready for, you know, for Christmas week. And no one signs up. You have to ask everyone individually. Everyone needs that. They need that interaction. They need to know that they've been thought about and they're loved enough. And so with doing it this time, you know, everything in this story is well, half of the show is leading up, you know, when we talk about the journey, right? Most times a show is a really great show because it's the journey that people have to take to get to wherever it's, you know, wherever the show is called, the main idea. And so, you know, the journey was adults. The journey was Roman soldiers and the Jewish oppression and things like that. So to see people get excited to put on a fabulous costume. And I mean, I had these costumes everywhere. I had them outside on my deck. I had them hung up and people would, it was the most fabulous time. So
your audience comes and participates in the show.
No. The audience watches the show, but for this show, we had 40 people in the show because we had to have Herod and we had to have Herod's entourage. Herod is pretty flamboyant and is actually played by Jim, my husband, because he's really amazing with the acting. And he has to have fan bearers and he has to have people and he has to have dancers. And so Herod's song is one of the larger productions. That's the whole set. He has men that are, you know, big muscles. He has Jewish people that are, you know, like wondering what's going on. He has three wise men. And because Jim does home improvements for a living, Jim and our youngest son, who was home for a year, built all the sets. So we had a mountain scene that had four sets of stairs. And we had angels coming in on the back, coming down the front. We had, I mean, it held a lot of people.
Yeah.
Even was used by another theater locally to do another show. They used our stuff. So it's getting people involved and that for them to realize if you don't do it, who's going to? It, you know, that was really the thing is, you know, you got to talk to Wendy and Jim because they have ideas in their head.
Yeah.
So we have ideas.
And big ideas by the sounds of it. So give us a little bit of an insight then. If, you know, if Heather and I were to come along to the show, what would be kind of, what do you hope we might take away from that show? What do you think for you, kind of the biggest impression, or what's the most important message that you know, the audience might take away with them? I mean, obviously it's going to be different for everybody, right? But for you as the producer, what's your hope for folk that to take away?
Well, I hope, and between the song 9 and song 10, there's a little bit of speaking, and in this show it's by characters in the show speaking as their character, and how Jesus came to save every one of them. The tax collector, we have Gabriel, we have the angel Gabriel, and she spoke about Jesus, and we have the tax collector, we have a Roman soldier, we have a shepherd, and they talk about how what happened that night was for everybody, everyone that chooses, you know. And so, and then the final song is actually called A Night to Remember, which is the title of the show. And it says that Jesus saved me. He came to save you too. He came to save the world a long time ago, you know. So it, those messages, the journey, we all take the journey. It's that simple. We all take the journey. Our journey is different. I'm sitting here with my drink cup, and my drink cup says on it, there's nothing new under the sun, from Ecclesiastes. And it's true. There's nothing you can do that surprises the Lord. And there's nothing you can do that's never been done before, and it's all forgiven.
So you've had some really great responses. You've had some really great reviews. Is there anything out of those that's really struck you and made you feel, wow, this has touched people in a way I didn't expect, or anything?
Last year, this is our second year, when we decided to do it the first year, it was just crazy because you have no idea. You just have no idea. And if there are good things that came out of the pandemic is that we can do things digitally, like this interview. And so, but one of the reviews talked about how, yes, it's a Christmas show, but where else except Ed Fringe can you come out with the magic of Christmas in August than the Fringe Festival? You know, this is the perfect place to watch it now so that then you can watch it later in December. And also the wonderful thing about this show is that, you know, it doesn't change next December. You know, this is it. This is the message. This is the show. And you can watch it every year. When we did it the first time, we had families that volunteered to perform in it. And those families made it a ritual that every year they revisited it as a memory that they could share as a family.
It's just lovely to hear that, isn't it? Yeah. Just that continual repetition of engagement and participation and appreciation. And, you know, Wendy, if we take a wee step back just from the show and have a look at things in terms of the Fringe, which you've obviously got a great appreciation for, you know, what about the place of faith at the Fringe? You know, that's one of the things that we're thinking about in this podcast series is, I suppose, in one sense, is there a place for faith at the Fringe? Is it important that there is that faith voice speaking into the Fringe and into the audience that's here?
I think it's extremely important. I think that people need to know that art, like Heather and I were talking earlier about art in so many forms, those beautiful stained glass windows behind you, art is everywhere. And people need to realize that you don't have to be in a niche. You don't have to do one certain thing to be an artist and to get your art form appreciated. That's the really cool thing about the Fringe is there's such diversity. I wondered if we were on the fringe of the fringe with being a Christian show. And even using the word show, some people have an issue with that. When is it a ministry and when is it a show? That's even from a Newsboys song. But you have to put your best foot forward. You have to do things well. You have to give your first fruits, right? And so we just knew that the Fringe was a great place to be accepted. And I don't think, you know, we're selling box office sellouts or anything like that. But I know that it's there. And I've had, like you said, some great interviews and some great reviews. People are so positive. And that's, you know, you're not going to please everybody. Everything at the Fringe isn't something I'm going to buy a ticket to either. You know, so I like that it's there for everybody. We actually have friends that are there right now through a theater group. And so it's a very neat place because everybody can go, everybody can find something they like. And maybe when they have the younger ones in the house and you can see that this is something that all ages can watch, where some of the other shows and things being put on at the Fringe maybe aren't, it's kind of a nice respite from everything else that's going on, you know, and it brings you back to what for me is what's really important.
It's an interesting phrase, what you were saying there about being potentially as a Christian show or ministry, being on the fringe of the fringe. You know, what do you think about that, Heather?
Yeah, so I think that we've got a unique opportunity to present lots of different kinds of experience. There's so much diversity in, as you were saying, in Christian art and in Christian stories. Mm-hmm. And I just love that this one is going right back to the heart of Jesus coming and ministering and making a way for us all. So that's really exciting for me.
And it sounds like you're doing it in a way that is really relevant for contemporary society as well. So that if you have no idea about the Christmas story, if you have no idea about A Night to Remember or anything to do with Jesus and the kind of the situation around his birth, that you can still come to A Night to Remember and, you know, have that experience and learn and see what's happening and see, you know, what does the church talk about? What is Christmas all about? But it sounds like your show is a way that people can access it and it's non-threatening. Would that be right?
Yes, exactly. And what I like in the show is that although it is rated PG, you know, there are elements that will make you think with the Jewish suppression and the Roman soldiers and collecting taxes and things like that. In the show, one of the Roman soldiers just decides to take the whole thing of taxes and not just the little bit that he's supposed to pick up. You know, I mean, it's very relevant. I think what you're saying, it is very relevant. You have people that are traveling, you have people that, you know, are ready to give birth. You have people that are, we have refugees all over the globe, and you have people here that aren't in their home and don't know where to stay and aren't sure what they're going to eat or how they're going to pay for their food. And then you have people that live there, like the shepherds, and they're like, why would I be chosen? Why would this announcement come to me? Because I'm just a lowly shepherd, you know? So, and I think that's a big point, that it doesn't matter your status, you know? And, but just when you're called, go. Really take it seriously, you know, really take it seriously. Revisit it again, think about it. And, you know, you just never know what way you're going to travel the path.
Was there anything that surprised you in the producing of this, the originating of this, or anything that surprised you in how it's being received and responded to?
We've done this show 3 times, and we have 3 more shows that we're actually trying to get out there. So we've kind of been through it a little bit. The one thing with this show is that a lot of people do already know the story or are a little bit familiar with it. But I think what surprises me is when someone says yes to volunteering to be in the show or to helping in some way, they're 100% yes. I was saying that you can't just put out an all call and people sign a sign up sheet and wow, look at this. We're going to have our first meeting with everybody that signed up and volunteered. It doesn't happen that way. But when you speak to them individually, Jim spoke to so many people. He just went up to each person he could that he had thoughts of where they should be in the show. And when you speak to them and give them that value of eye-to-eye contact and really letting them know that we think you would be amazing here, they would just own it. They would own everything. They said, when I put on my costume, it's like my attitude changes. I stand differently. I really want to make sure this part is portrayed the way I see it. And I just think that's amazing. We have friends that helped us build the sets, and then we're also in the show. And when they travel, they say, now we go to a theater and we see so many things that people don't see in the theater because we were behind the stages, and they appreciate it on a completely different level. Wow, how they were building that. But I remember how we built this, and it had to be fire retardant, and it had to all this, you know, it was very interesting. So people learn. And like I said, if you ask them and you give them value, they will give you 100% value back, which has been the second time we did it in a church with older people, we changed it so that everyone wore concert black, and all they had was the special headdress for the part they were playing because they were older. They needed to wear sensible shoes, but they wanted to do this. Doesn't matter your age, right? In the third production, we went to a dance company. We had little girls that were dancers that were 5 years old. They couldn't wait to be angels coming out. So I think that's something too, that it doesn't matter your age. You have value, you have talent. Talking about the arts again, and what is art? You have it. You just have to bring it out there.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful picture that you're depicting just now about how kind of art really pulls out and honors the gifts and the value of individuals. And sometimes we might lose that when we're thinking about art or shows or, you know, and culture, that we might not think of it that way. So I love that this is the idea that you're bringing to the forefront of our minds just now, because when we're thinking about how does art bridge the gap between church and community, actually what we're seeing is, how does art enhance people's faith? How does it give them, how do they learn about their God-given identity? And what you're helping us understand is actually depicting these Bible stories and being involved and embracing those characters actually brings out not just elements of faith, and because you're getting involved in the story and in the characters, but actually also your identity, the value. And that's such a precious message, isn't it? That, like, as you're saying, all ages, it's good to hear that encouraging word that no matter what age we're at, there is a way of expressing our faith, right?
Right. Right. And bringing your talents, everyone has talents. And even if they don't think they can do something, they have thoughts about it, or they have concerns about it, that they want to make sure that's met so that it's done well. And I, doing it the second time, we had older people. I had an older gentleman come in with his screwdriver set, and he was going to make sure that nothing was going to happen with the lighting. He was going to check all of the electrical in a certain building and make sure everything was, could handle all of the load of the lighting. And I thought, wow, you know, he's 85 years old and he's making sure the electrical can handle all the lights for the show. That's amazing. I would have never known. And, but I love that he had that comfort to just come in. I mean, we obviously had people that did home improvements and people, but it didn't matter. He knew what he needed to do so that he felt comfortable that it was going to go the best it could. So that it's, I mean, you know, when you lead worship and things like that, you lead worship, but you are blessed beyond measure back in ways that you could never imagine, you know? So with this, it's very good. We met a lot of people. You know, we've done it three times. We have people that were in the show almost all three times, you know, and the community that you create and the relationships that you create, you can't put a price on them.
Fantastic. It just sounds so immersive, and that it pulls you in with not just a story, but with sound and with colour and with images and the symbolism of it all. And I just love that. That's going to provoke people, not just at maybe a head level with questions, but with a heart as well, responding to all of that. Because that's the culture that we have, is we have a very visual culture where we see media in lots of forms now telling these visual stories. And I'm just really excited that this is running all the way through on demand, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And beyond. And they can always go to heartandsoulproducers.com and see our other shows. We have 4 shows already in PG, and they're in different forms of getting it out there to the public. So we're actually starting a podcast for us is Labor Day weekend, the beginning of September, for one of our shows called Runaway Man. And we want to do it like an old fashioned radio show where it's a chapter. Each song is a chapter because the songs are the ones that tell us the story. And we just want to try things different ways to meet people where they are. If it's a podcast to you, it might be an old fashioned radio show to my great aunt sis, you know, but either way, it's the same thing, and she can listen to it and you can listen to it across the pond.
I'm so glad you mentioned there about the podcast, because I wanted to know, well, you know, what's next? Because you sound like you're a person that is, you know, really creative, and there's new that's coming through you. So that's why I'm so glad you mentioned about the podcast. I wanted to find out from you, just as we're coming to a close, you know, after The Fringe, what's next for you? What's the next kind of show that you're looking at? Have you got another show kind of in the pipeline coming through too?
We do. Our 4th show is an original, a true story concept musical called The Saxophone. And it is getting some rewrites and one extra song or two after having a couple of table readings and seeing a dramaturge, which is someone that checks to make sure that your story arcs are fulfilled and you haven't missed anything, because you're looking at your baby and listening to your baby, and you need those outside professionals to help. So The Saxophone is the next one that will be done soon and be ready for a developmental production. And that's where, you know, that's the goal, is to get it on stage, to get it videoed so that people can see it, but then to also have it to be able to play. So we've met with a couple of theaters within maybe 100, 200 miles here in Florida that are interested in taking it basically to the next level. So The Saxophone is the next one. Runaway Man, which was the first one I told you about when Jim and I first met, that's actually the first show he wrote. And that's what's going to be on the podcast. And then You Have a Night to Remember. And we have a 4th one called Forever Shall Be. And it's one for what we call during ordinary times, how life happens. It doesn't need a holiday. But how things happen in the real world. And it's about a historic district where there's a theater that's kind of run down and trying to make it. And there's a downtown mission that's really run down and trying to help other people. And how that dynamic in a downtown historic district in any town, right there in Scotland or right here in Melbourne, and how they manage, and how through just helping each other and being good people, you know, we can all live together and thrive.
It's honestly, I'm so impressed in all the right ways in terms of how you are expressing your faith. And Heather, I'm going to ask you about what you're going to take away from today in a minute, because I'm going, it's so rich, it's so varied. But one of the things that really strikes me, Wendy, with you is not only your creativity and this constant energy to make sure that things keep growing and moving, but you do it with an arms wide open approach. You know, you sound as though you're really heart full in terms of bringing people along with you and inviting them in, and that, you know, hospitality with people as well. And that's really a key thing I'm taking away from you in terms of this whole faith and Fringe and everything, and how to pool and involve people in a way that really nourishes them. So thank you so much for that. What about you, Heather? What are you taking away?
Yeah, I just love that whole teamwork aspect, and it's something that's just really brought to the fore that anything we see one layer, one maybe end product, but just loving how beautifully you've brought all these people together on this journey of expressing their faith creatively. It's brilliant.
Yeah, it really is. So all power to you, Wendy.
Thank you. We want people to know, right? I mean, it's, you should never be ashamed, and sometimes you have to be a little more bold than you think you can, but with God, all things are possible.
Yeah, definitely. And I think actually your sign behind you, which says, if I'm right in reading it, it says rejoice.
Yes. So
it is a case of rejoice, because with God, all things are possible. And I love it that here we are, you know, we've got the story of Jesus's birth in the Fringe, as you were saying, in the middle of August, wide open for everybody to come and enjoy and experience. And, you know, that you might have thought that might have been an impossibility at some point, but nevertheless,
yeah,
as you are in Florida, here your show is, and here we are. And we've just really, really enjoyed our conversation. So thank you so much for being with us, for getting up a little bit early your time to come and join us.
Ruth and Heather, we just really appreciate the invitation. We appreciate just getting the word out there a little more. It's hard when you don't live there to know exactly what to do or who to speak with. And so for you to reach out to us is just, it's priceless as well. So, and we just hope that people see that maybe in December, sometimes there's things that happened in December. Maybe your mom died and it's not a great time, but you can celebrate the Christmas story any time of year. And maybe in the comfort of your own home, maybe you're not comfortable walking through the doors of a cathedral or a church or whatever. And so we just want to make sure that, you know, everybody sees it. And not all of our shows are really, I guess, faith-based, but, you know, you need to be a good human.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And thank you for showing us and sharing with us ways that you're being a good human and helping others be good humans and being God humans too. So that is good humans with a good God connection. So yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And we will put the description to your show on, or the information rather, we'll put the information for your show on our description for the podcast. And for all of our listeners, thank you so much again for tuning in to our Faith at the Fringe podcast here for 2024. That was Heather and Wendy with me, and you. I hope you enjoyed it.